This episode brought to you by Correlation and BankJoy. On the show today, we have Valley Strong Credit Union's very own Nick Ambrosini and Financial Center Credit Union's very own Michael Duffy talking about their recent merger that they just went through. Actually, they're still in the process of. And both Nick and Michael talk about where they want to take this with the future of this merger, the reasons, the very interesting reasons behind it, and which I find always fascinating. And again, they also give us some do's and don'ts and some advice out there for other credit unions looking to go down this road as well. So check it out. Our show, and on today's program, we're talking a little merger talk today, and that's a big topic in the industry, obviously. But we have two gentlemen here that are in the midst of their merger, and really some really great news here for both these credit unions. So I'm going to do some introductions first, and right next to me, it would be Mr. Nick Ambrosini from Valley Strong Credit Union. Nick, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mike?
Doing great. Thanks for asking. And then right below me is Mr. Michael Duffy from Financial Center Credit Union. Michael, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having us this morning.
I like your background. It's like you're reporting from the vault. I like that.
I am. It's Scrooge McDuck's vault. That's what it is. So we are reporting from the vault this morning.
That's pretty cool. I like that. So, all right. So the big news is that you guys are merging. So my first question with a lot of these, I've been doing a lot of merger interviews actually lately, and I'm fascinated of how they start and the why behind it and all that type of stuff. So Michael, I'm going to start with you. So, And then Nick, I'll go to you as well on this one. So why the merger? What sparked this move? Whose idea was it? That type of stuff. So Michael, I'll let you go first.
Well, thank you. We do at Financial Center Credit Union, we've done strategic planning on 10-year spans. And in between there, we do 3 to 5 year business plans. And in the fourth quarter of 2019, we started looking at several things that were coming to us that were going to require us to think differently into the future. Nothing wrong with what we've been doing, but the environment had changed and we knew it was changing. Yeah. And so it was time for us to look at those changes and to see how we could best serve our members. So with that, with all the other strategic plans we had up on the board, we started looking into them. One that we've had for many years is always to consider a strategic merger. Not a merger out of weakness, not a merger because, you know, things aren't going right in your right marketplace or something else, yeah, but really for the members' benefit. So yeah, we took a look at that and, the tech issues, and it's not just simply technology, but it's your ability without scale to negotiate with your technology partners. Mm-hmm. You're really at a disadvantage for your members until you have scale. You can battle that. You can battle that for a long time.
Yeah.
But you know, the answer is, if you don't have the scale to negotiate with a large provider, you're going to get what's off the shelf. And then you have to make what's off the shelf work for you and for your members. And so the second thing that went into that in our discussions was product development. Mm-hmm. Really, we think product over the next decade is going to rule, because that's what the consumer wants. That's what our members want. And so that's a big thing. And we found that out through surveys and other things that really allowed us to see into what our members were looking at into the future. So when you do that, when you're looking at all these different things and you're doing the same thing for the same reasons in the same market space, why not leapfrog over, get with a best of breed organization, just like you are different. You are different, but you're similar in many ways. Mm-hmm. And let's look at cooperating, not competing, to make the movement even stronger and to make your in delivery of value to your member even stronger.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's such an eye opener when you look at it from those angles. Like, of course, it's a smart move for sure. And Nick, I want to get your perspective on the same question. What was it like from your perspective?
Yeah. I mean, so from our perspective, we've had an active merger strategy since 2020. We started several years before that, positioning ourselves to expand our field of membership. Mm-hmm. We converted to a state charter and changed our name in February of 2020 to position ourselves for growth throughout Central California, which also included an active merger strategy and trying to find areas where there wasn't geographic overlap, where there were similarities in how we do business, and to try to find like-minded partners. So it's worked well for us.
It certainly sounds like it. So where are you two in the process right now? Where is the merger? Nick, I'll let you handle this one.
Yeah, legal day one was October 1st.
Okay.
So we're in the middle of the that fun period of technical integration, which will be done in early second quarter of 2022. And everything is right on schedule, and we're looking forward to getting to operational day one.
Right on, right. And Michael, from your perspective, I mean, some do's and don'ts, and I'll let you answer this as well, Nick. I mean, from a merger perspective, so where are you in that process, and any advice for other credit unions out there looking to do something similar?
Well, the technical integration is there. We all understand that. We all practice. We're operators, right? What I really pay attention is to that emotional side of it. We have two great organizations coming together. And so I'm concentrating on the people side of things, the emotional intelligence, to get a group of 100 that was high performing and to have them come into another group, which is also high performing. And that sounds like, well, that should be easy, two high performing groups, right? But we know that there's a lot of difference. One of the things that we did is we did a lot of culture mapping before in our decision-making process. And I think if you spend more time on your decision-making process, who your partner is going to be. We did a nationwide search. We had help from Jeff Rendell and ALM First, David Ritter. And we did a lot of work in not just looking who is best of breed, who had great financials, all those things that are just ants to get into the game. But then we looked at what your culture was and really what was your strategy and where were you on the implementation of that strategy. And so after our nationwide search, it wasn't much surprise. The best cultural fit for us was right down the valley, almost in basically the same market area that we are. It was the best fit. And besides that, our corporate colors are the same. That green had it.
There it is. Right there. Enough said. The colors are the same. So, yeah, Nick, I want to get your perspective on that as well. What are some advice or maybe some do's and don'ts for this process?
Yeah. So, I mean, for us, it started with developing that merger strategy. And it's more about finding out those deal breakers and what you're not going to do. Start there and understand where that is. One of the other things that we did that we feel like streamlined the ability to get things across the finish line is set a small working group of the board that was tasked with carrying out some of those discussions. We had a framework in place. We had the profile of what we were willing to do and what we were not willing to do. And we created a much more nimble governance group if I needed to bounce things off of versus going back to a full board where, you know, full boards can, you know, sometimes slow these processes down. So that was extremely helpful, you know, knowing what you were willing to walk away from. And, you know, the other thing too, and to echo Michael's point, is the people side.
Yeah.
The technical integration piece, you know, it involves a lot of people. It's a long process. No one loves conversion, but we have a dedicated team that is all they do, you know, so it doesn't scare us. We know how to do it. You follow the playbook. But the people side, you cannot overemphasize that you should be spending considerably more time on the people side of mergers. And I think in many cases, you see that where post-integration there's clashes. You know, we engage an outside consultant specifically on culture to do a full-blown assessment of both cultures and also to help with the articulation of a future state culture. It is not going to be one where there is 100% assimilation into our environment. And no, it's how do we come together to build a future for where we're trying to go? And you have to be willing to bend. You know, any type of rigidness in these environments usually ends up with some fallout later. So,
if you want a great way to validate, you want a great way to validate a merger, you look at that and what Nick is talking about, that capacity is completely there. And their ability to take their partners' wishes in as well. And when you look at it, they're very dynamic organizations. So to bring them together, it takes a lot of understanding for the larger partner to come in and really, really understand what's going on and how to bring a group in. We couldn't have done this so smoothly, so quickly, and there were time elements that needed to happen with COVID going on and everything else without that kind of understanding from your other partner. And you know, again, I can't say more than thank Nick and his team, because when we got there, that's validation for us that we made the right decision.
Yeah.
Every step we're taking right now is hitting where we wanted to, how we envisioned it to hit.
Well, yeah. And the trust side is so important at the end of the day. And, you know, I think there was a lot of things that we came together on to do in during the process to help build trust, because, you know, the executive team is usually the easiest component to figure out, but it's the people in the back office areas that immediately go, oh my goodness, what happens to me? So
exactly. Exactly.
You know, we went long before legal day one, myself and my executive team went with Michael, and we met over the course of several days with every single team member, you know, myself and the rest of our executive team with Michael. And it's a great way just to connect at people's level and understand that different people have different concerns. And if you understand those and you can take it back and build that into your communication strategy or into your development strategy as you move forward, it just makes a better outcome. Mm-hmm. And you don't see many executive C-level people in larger organizations meeting with every single employee of an institution.
No, you don't.
But I can tell you, it is worth the time you spend connecting and getting just to know people.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's such a basic human thing that I think too oftentimes is taken for granted in these processes.
Yeah. That transparency probably pays dividends down the road for sure to know. I mean, it's almost like you're including them, you're involving them in this process as well. So, and they probably appreciate that for sure. And knowing what their futures are and what their roles are. And so that's probably got to be huge for them. So, because I've always wondered that. It's like, okay, well, what happens to the people, you know, down the line a little bit, you know? So, and hopefully all that kind of, like you said, Nick, you bend and then you kind of mesh together and it works that way. So, and then talking to them probably helps out a lot as well. So that's probably a huge deal for sure. And so that said, and here's a question for both of you guys is, what are the goals once the kind of the merger dust has settled? what are some goals that you guys want to achieve here? Michael, I'll let you go first.
Well, one of the important things in our selection process is someone's vision for the future, that the other organization's vision for the future. And we saw that come through, you know, the excellence in operation and the greater emphasis into the future on operational excellence, because that allows you to do so much more when you get that all taken care of. A look to how they foresaw the market growing, mm-hmm. and where we needed to be, and being product-led is very important. We just think that the end consumer is really looking for the products, and a lot of financial institutions can't bring those products or bring the right products right now because fintech is competing with them. So on the overall competitive landscape, to get with Valley Strong was a huge leapfrog for us. Mm-hmm. We were going in the same direction. There's no way we could have done that on our own,
right?
Or it would have taken us a good 7 years to get it done.
Okay.
By next May, we're going to have it with Valley Strong together.
So you just condensed that timeline for sure, it sounds like. So, and Nick, what are some goals that you guys want to achieve from your end?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from an immediate standpoint, from a merger, you know, one of the things that we're going to be doing is opening it up to the entire community, right? So Financial Center had a closed field of membership, and now anyone who, you know, lives in that market is now eligible. So it's getting deeper into the community, offering some of that product set that they may have not offered, getting that into the community and really doubling down on the things that we do well, which is taking care of our members and supporting our communities. Mm-hmm. But that's the immediate, you know, what's next, you know, and we've started some things in between right now to actually try to capture some of that upside and to give back to the members in product offerings during this, you know, limbo land from legal day one to operational day one, while we're still doing, you know, have separate systems, but we're not wasting time to get value downstream to members. And then, you know, from a long-term standpoint, it's really to become, you know, a premier credit union in the state of California, to be mm-hmm. one of the leaders and people driving innovation, which we are doing. We have restructured a lot at Valley Strong to position ourselves to execute and to do that.
Well, that's what you got to do to compete these days and to be relevant. So yeah, you guys are doing the right thing. So, and last question for you before I let you guys go. So it's kind of a sticky issue, this mergers and acquisitions thing. As you guys well know, we see stories upon stories about it in the industry publications almost daily now. But so I just want to get your thoughts on mergers and acquisitions, consolidation of the industry. What's your take on that? Because I mean, you guys are in the midst of a merger right now, and I just want to get your take on that, on the discussions that go on there. Sometimes they can be divisive, sometimes they can be as harmonious as what you guys are experiencing right now. But your take on that, Nick, what are your thoughts in that area?
Yeah, I think the consolidation in the industry is a really good thing, especially in California, where, you know, California is kind of the land of giants when it comes to credit unions and financial institution and options in general.
Yeah.
I think there is a place for a smaller credit union to exist into the future. And I think that is, or those are credit unions that may have single employer sponsored groups,
right.
Or be in much more rural areas where there's not access to financial products for those members. Absolutely a great, you know, long-term value prop. But I think, you know, if you're in a major metro and you're 300 million and you're trying to compete, you're just not going to be able to do the things that you need to do. And as an industry in general, I think we are stronger and our ability to get bigger market share through good consolidation and good, you know, credit union mergers coming together. It allows us to do more and be more impactful from an industry perspective.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because obviously the number of credit unions is shrinking, but the number of members is growing. So what you just said there rings true for sure. Michael, what's your take?
Our impact is growing.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah. What's that, Nick?
I said our impact is growing despite the consolidation, which is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Michael?
Consolidation? What's wrong with consolidation? Here's what we have. We have a movement that I guess is an industry. But if we have a movement that's about our members, right, that what we're trying to do is bring true value to them, and the way to achieve that is through scale, then what's wrong with that? There's no problem with big or small. That sounds like a banker argument, right? Where somebody comes up with this false argument like your size matters.
Right.
That's not it. If your size is conducive to who you are serving and how you are serving them, that's great. If your size is not, you need to grow. And what's wrong with people in the cooperative industry cooperating? What's wrong? Didn't we get together by 11? Well, we did. 11 people came together and they said, we want to do better for our fellow employees, our county employees. They came together and they started that credit union out of a shoebox, right? Valley Strong is very similar. They came together with a group of employees to help fellow employees. Are we doing the same thing for the same reasons? Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. So what's wrong with us joining up? Yeah. Anybody who has a problem with it, they're not looking at what we're doing and why we're doing it. It's for the right reason.
Right.
And it ends up being member value in the end.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like every case is different. They have their individual reasons, but there's probably a theme that runs through them as well. So yeah. So good stuff, guys. Anything else here to add to wrap up as you guys are, as we're heading into the holidays? Oh my gosh. Nick, any final words here?
Appreciate the time today. 2021 has been a really exciting year. We believe the future is really bright for Valley Strong, and we are excited to get into next year and to continue to execute our long-range strategic plan.
Indeed. Yeah, sounds like you guys are setting up just right to kick off 2022 in a big way. So, Michael, any final thoughts here?
Just thank you, and everybody have happy holidays. All right.
Indeed. All right. Great message. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for your time, and good luck the rest of the way. Not that you need it, but we'll just say it anyway. But good luck the rest of the way, and thank you for your time as always. And keep up the good work. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are.